In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This world hates Christians. Throughout the world, throughout the ages, Christians have been harassed, persecuted, robbed, attacked, and killed simply for being Christian. For confessing the truth of Christ, they're murdered. For living a life of love of Jesus, they are martyred. And nothing seems to change. Violence! Violence, we cry to God. How long shall we cry out for help to you and you not hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? What will our God answer? How shall we live in a world united against us? Why do we suffer so much from the people of this world? We suffer because we speak the truth. We speak the only truth there is. It's the truth that everything wrong with the world, with our society, with our families, with our relationships, everything wrong in our hearts is our fault. It's the truth that we're corrupt and selfish to the core, that everything our flesh desires is evil and destructive, that our sin kills, that we deserve death. It's the truth that we can't have it our way, because our way is death. And God will not allow death to win. The truth that we are not good, and that the only real good, the only real life, the only real truth in this world is God Himself. It's the truth that we can't save ourselves, but we are only saved from evil and death by what God does for us and to us. The truth that God became a man and we killed him and he didn't stay dead. The truth that Jesus is still alive today and still forgiving sinners. That Jesus will come again soon to create a perfect new world for those who believe in him and cast into hell all those who hate him. We speak that truth. That truth isn't ours. It's God's truth. He revealed it to us in his word and son Jesus. It's a truth that applies to all people everywhere, in every culture and every context, every time and every place. It's inescapable truth, part of the very fabric of existence. It's truth that everyone must acknowledge on the last day, even if they deny it every day until then, even if they hate that truth now and so hate God now. Do not be mistaken. The world hates your Lord. It hates his word, his truth, the truth, because it applies to them, whether they like it or not, and condemns their sin and evil nature. So they condemn it. They condemn you. They hate you and revile you and murder you. Yes, you. I want you to remember that in the body of Christ, there is no them. Even if the Christians being persecuted are on a different continent, with different looks, in a different language, even if they are impoverished and despised by the world, they are still your brothers and sisters, your own flesh and blood in the body of Christ. So yes, the world hates you and your God. So they will try to silence God by killing his Christians. They try to rewrite the truth by eradicating any evidence that it ever existed, starting with us. Do not be mistaken. The death we face is real. And we will not be safe here in America forever. The day is coming when it will be criminal to confess Jesus as Lord in Owego. Now in this nation, it's already long begun with our finances and businesses. You've heard about the photographers and the bakers and others who have been put out of business for their confession of God's truth concerning homosexuality. You've seen parents labeled terrorists for opposing the filth pushed in public schools. You've heard true marriage redefined. witnessed attempts to redefine man and woman, redefine children, redefine humanity and persons, redefine life itself. The reputation of Christian is readily followed by backwards, bigoted, arrogant, fake, hypocritical, hateful, superstitious, stupid. Every day, the truth of God is pushed further out of the public eye, out of culture, and replaced by fiction. The day is coming and is already here when we will be shunned. We will be punished. We will be attacked and beaten and murdered. And they will cheer it. No one will stand for us because the world will be united against us. But we will not be afraid. We will not be ashamed. Because we know him in whom we have believed. Our enemies cannot destroy or change his truth. Nor then that can they destroy us, we who speak his truth, we who believe his truth. They cannot destroy our faith. Because they could not destroy Jesus. He still lives. Let me tell you something about faith. Most people today equate faith, belief, with hope. We say things like, I believe it's going to be a hard winter. It's a guess. It's a probability. Are there any brownies still left in the pan? Well, I believe so. I certainly hope so. But I'm not sure. It could have changed. But the Bible defines faith in this way. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is certainty. Faith is knowing the truth to be true. Faith is based, then, on the trustworthiness of its object. And our faith is founded in God, in Jesus Christ, and what he has actually, factually, really, truly, historically done. The real, true, historical God-man Jesus is the one in whom we have believed. And he is faithful to us. So when we cry violence to him, when we weep and fear and wonder how we can live in a world united against us, God answers us from what he has done and what he will do. He answers us from his atoning cross, and he will answer us from his judgment throne. He will say, you, my righteous ones, will live by faith. You will live by the truth that I have told you. You will live because you have believed my truth. You believe in God, your Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. You believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, your Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead, ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. You believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. By this faith, by this truth, you shall live. That, right there, is the pattern of sound words that Paul is talking about in our epistle. It is the creed. It's the faith that we confess. This faith, this truth of God's love and mercy in Jesus for you and for all dying sinners, this is the good deposit Paul speaks of. And it's beautiful. It's genuine. It is the only true, unshakable thing that there is that will never lose its value. It is utterly precious. Guard this deposit, our creed, our faith, our confession, your creed, your faith, your confession, which is worth dying for. Guard it, for it is your very life. Guard it from being corrupted by the honeyed words of false teachers. Is the gospel twisted or obscured? Is no gospel at all. Guard it from being silenced by intimidation and fear of the world. Guard it from being forgotten by you or by your children. guard it, not because it's in danger of being lost, but because without it, you are lost. Because without it, all the world is lost. Guard it for your sake and for theirs. Guard it by keeping it. Keep it in your ears and your mouths and your heart by coming here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday to receive what Jesus has for you here. Keep it in your mind by studying the Word for us in Bible study. Keep it in your home in devotion. Keep it on your lips in prayer and forgiveness and encouragement and confession. This great truth, this precious truth, has been entrusted to you. It's been entrusted to you not to hide, but to deliver. It's not our truth, remember? It's God's truth, and it is intended for all dying sinners. That's why we must speak it. That's why we must live it. That's why Christians travel halfway around the world to bring this truth to those who have never heard it. That's why Christians open their hearts and their hands and their wallets and their homes in mercy to share and to care and provide for those who suffer right here in our own neighborhood. It's why we, together as Zion, do everything that we do. Why we testify to the truth of Jesus Christ for sinners. Why we live out the mercy of Jesus Christ for sinners. Because of the truth. Because of the fact that God loves all these people. The fact that He loves you. He shaped all of history. Shaped the fabric of the cosmos to give to us and to them everything. All out of grace. That's the truth of God's love and forgiveness. And that truth of God's love and forgiveness is why we must speak, why we must confess the truth about sin, both our sin and the sins of those whom we love. Even when it's easier to just let sin go, easier to sweep it under the rug, to be politically correct, to live and let live, to forget and not forgive. No, if your brother sins, rebuke him. Speak the truth out of love for him. Rebuke him so that he may turn from his deadly sin and receive the life-giving forgiveness of Jesus, so that he too may live by that faith. Lord, increase our faith, we pray. By that faith we live. By that faith we forgive. By that faith we face hatred and violence and death out of love for our enemy, so that our enemies may be forgiven and live, even if they have sinned against us time and again. By that faith we suffer for these whom God loves, even as Jesus suffered for us. Violence, we have cried. When will the last day of our suffering finally come? When will the day of judgment come, the day of our final salvation? If it seems slow, wait for it. It'll surely come. It will not delay. And while you wait, while you suffer, while you live, and when you die, you, God's righteous ones, made righteous in Jesus, you shall live by His faith. Live by the fact of God's love and mercy and Jesus' death and eternal life. Live by the truth, God's truth, for you, for them, forever. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand to sing.